Whole Earth Access is the leading Apple Macintosh reseller in Northern California, and Whole Earth is now featuring the expandable Apple Macintosh 2SI with 3 megabytes of RAM and a 40 megabyte hard drive.
The small footprint Macintosh 2SI is excellent for business, education, or home use. And amazingly, the price has dropped over $400 to only $1,299.
Shop only Whole Earth Access for Apple Macintosh computers. Nobody beats our selection, our product knowledge, and nobody ever beats our prices.
Here we go. Plug your ears. Now that I've cleared my throat, I have a feeling this is going to be in the upper registers.
Hello, and welcome to the Coldcast Best 30. Plus minute Apple conversation you're gonna hear all week long. I told you. I'm your host, Aaron Elijah. Joining me today, his new book, The Cult of Mac 2.0, will be flying off the shelves when it hits stores in the year 2025. Leander Kennedy is here with us.
Yeah, don't remind me. I know. I hang my head in shame.
Also with us one day, I just know we're gonna live together in one of those micro apartments. Buster Heine.
Hey, man.
We don't need much space, do we?
Oh, I mean, we could share the same bed.
That's what I was thinking, too. I mean, a twin's big enough for us.
Yeah.
And that would give us space for our hot tub. And then the flat screen TV.
Yeah.
What else do two grown, totally platonic friends need than those three items in one
maybe
small apartment?
Beer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We need a mini fridge. Yeah, absolutely. And then maybe a spare bedroom. Well, spare bed for when Leander gets in trouble with Tracy. Come over. We'll get you a cot, Leander.
Well, a bathtub will do. That's what I'm used to.
Yeah, actually, that's right. I forgot. Because you have to drink yourself to sleep. So.
No, I don't have to go to the bathroom either.
I didn't even think about that. How convenient. I need to make some alterations to my own life. You can just go where you lie. It's like being a baby again.
Right, I know. Yeah, exactly. Can't wait till I get a bit
you
older.
Just turn on the faucet, hose off, and go about your day. Well, it only took 2 minutes to go off the rails.
So yeah,
that's right. To be reckoned for us. We have a great show for you guys today. We actually had to pull stories out because we have so much stuff to talk about this week that we're not going to have time for all of it. So we're going to be talking more about the iPhone 7, of course, and I want to talk more about the AirPods. I was thinking about this the last few days, and I think that out of everything that Apple announced at the iPhone 7 event, the AirPods are probably what I'm most excited for. Does anyone else share that sentiment with me?
Negative.
No,
yeah, me neither.
No, not at all.
That'd be ridiculous.
No.
I mean, I'm pretty excited about them, but the phone.
We can get into that. I'm excited for the iPhone 7 too, but I think I'm more excited for the AirPods actually, because they're so sorely needed, and I've tried other Bluetooth headphones and
there's been a bunch of baloney about them, like about how it's the new, you know, Apple's new wearables strategy.
Jewelry?
Well, no, it's like a whole new platform. You know, you can imagine that this based on the W1 chip is going to go into a whole bunch of new. Wireless peripherals they put on your body. It complements the watch. You know, it's like their second wearable, right?
Interesting. I hadn't heard anyone say anything like that. But
it's kind of interesting. But it's like, okay, well, hang on, wait a second. It's also just a pair of Bluetooth headphones that,
yeah,
and you can use it to call up Siri, which you could do with headphones before,
right?
So, that is interesting, though. I mean. And they do look really cool. They should put them in black, though. I mean, I think there's going to be a bit of a backlash against the way they look.
Yeah.
They I think so, look, too, because they do look somewhat
you
silly.
Might as well get a gigantic, you know, cat in the hat, and the dork written on it. I think if they'd done it in black, you know, I think that might have gone down. But then they wouldn't have got that brand recognition, right? I mean, they got to be the new white.
They had
AirPods.
To have been white, yeah, for yeah. V1. Right. Well, I'm waiting for the Swarovski crystals model. The one that's just blinged out. That's what I need.
You could always stick a few
sequins on it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, what's that thing called? The bedazzler?
Yeah.
That's what you need. You need to get your hands on the bedazzler
right. Yeah.
and just bling those things out. Okay, well, before we get into everything, let me go ahead and say thank you to Squarespace for supporting this episode. You can build a beautiful, responsive website quickly at squarespace.com. And if you enter code CULTCAST at checkout, you'll get 10% off your first order. And you also get a 2-week free trial. You can build websites, you can build a blog, you can build a cover page, which is just a simple one page impactful website. You can build an e-commerce site and have everything up and running for 2 weeks for free. They don't even need your credit card information, and see how you like it. And then if you decide you want to continue it, you can use code CULTCAST at checkout to save 10%. Here's some news from Squarespace, though. Squarespace is always updating their services to include modern design and modern features. And today they just announced that Apple Pay is available for Squarespace online stores. I actually just activated this on the CultCloth store, cultcloth.co, which you should check out, especially if you're getting a jet black iPhone, by the way.
Oh, yeah, man. You're going to need one in every pocket, aren't you?
Yeah, that thing.
In your car, your house, your apartment, work, school.
Yeah. In fact, you should just sew some clothing articles out of CultCloth so you can just, if then you drop it into your pocket, it automatically just gets wiped down. But now your website visitors can buy your items with just one click with Apple Pay. It's as convenient as it gets. And you know, the more steps you eliminate in the buying process, the easier you make it for people, the more likely they are to buy something. People don't want to be hassled on your website. That's why Amazon has one click. So you can enable that now. It's all included as part of your Squarespace subscription. That's squarespace.com. I want to thank Squarespace for supporting this episode. Okay, some surprising news. Let's start with this. T-Mobile CEO John Legere, he was doing a live stream, I guess, on, what was he using here?
Netflix?
he was using Netflix to stream. No, he was using
Periscope.
Oh,
you didn't stream. Like, stream what?
Massive brain fart on my part and then Buzzer's part. So he was doing a live stream talking about the iPhone 7, and he said, and I quote, "I don't know what everyone is doing, but the iPhone 7 is like 4 times bigger than the iPhone 6 for us at this order stage." He called it a phenomenon. I find that hard to believe. Leander, what do you think about that?
Well, no, Sprint put out a press release today, too, saying exactly the same thing, 375% up on the iPhone 6, 6S, I think.
That is bonkers. Over the iPhone 6.
400% up, yeah. 4 times as much. And then Apple just put out a release saying it's all sold out. Don't even bother to go to the stores. You're not going to pick one up.
Well,
any Plus model in any color, any format, anything. It's gone. Globally.
That's right. So that part is true. If you're looking for a Plus, you're not going to get one at the Apple store. Don't even bother going.
And you won't get one for weeks. I mean, I ordered my iPhone Plus like at 1 minute past midnight. I had it all set up, right? Everything was ready to go. As soon as I could log in, it was probably about 2 minutes after because there's a little bit of a glitch. I'd saved it as a favorite. So all I had to do was hit the buy now button. So I was like, I must have been amongst the first few million to order it.
And it's not coming.
It's not coming till like October or something. I don't know.
Wait, you got the jet black.
Yeah.
The jet black sold out incredibly fast. I couldn't get one either. Yeah, and I was sitting there. People who were following me on Twitter, we were all sitting there refreshing. We were quitting our Apple store apps and relaunching them. I was sitting there for like 15 minutes, and they launched late, of course, as they always do.
Right.
And then by the time I got my paws on it, yeah, they were sold out until October, and then within like 30 minutes, they were sold out all the way until November.
Oh, my goodness.
For the jet black.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for a jet black model, they don't have any of those in store whatsoever. It doesn't matter which model of the iPhone you're trying to get. So I'm sorry. My condolences to you. You can always try to buy one off of Craigslist for triple the price. Just make sure you take your shank with you. I don't even think Apple expected to have this much demand for the iPhone 7. And I'm surprised to see that they did have this much demand, considering that it really is not that major of an update.
Yeah, I don't know. The camera, I think, is really compelling. I think people really are going for the camera, you know, the dual lens camera. I think, you know, like, despite all the lackluster reviews and the lukewarm reviews, you know, which you get every year, right? But the reviews, they're cliched. They're exactly the same every year. It's always meh from the professional review audience. But I think, you know, the customers are going, obviously, they're going bananas for it. It's great. I think it really, it's like, Gruber had a good analogy. He said it's like, you know, complaining. The reviewers are like car reviewers who complain that the Porsche, a new Porsche, looks just like the old Porsche.
Right.
Right? It's in the same It's got the same body shape.
I mean, that's
shape.
A problem that I have every year. Yeah,
right. But then underneath, you know, underneath the hood, there's an all new engine. There's a whole new, you know, transmission. The thing is faster and crazier than ever. And I think that's exactly what's going on here with the phones. I don't know why people complain about the form factor. You know, when all the guts are completely new and it looks amazing. I mean, the thing's fat. It's the chip, the CPU, the raw performance is faster than twice as fast as any Android handset out there, and faster than almost every.
Is it really?
Every MacBook Air ever made. It's like the computing
it's
power.
It's faster
the thing is
than
astonishing.
Any MacBook Air ever made. Is
yeah,
that what you said?
That's what they're saying. That's what they're saying. The benchmarks show that it's faster than all the MacBook Airs.
Wow.
There's caveats
that
to that,
is
I think.
Bonkers.
Depending on what you're doing, but yeah, the thing is really, really fast, and it's really, really powerful.
So I'm assuming you got the iPhone 7 Plus then, Leander.
Yeah.
Okay, which one did you get? Ordered it. What yeah. month is it going to be? What month
knows,
and what year will
knows,
you have
yeah.
it? So which one did you get?
I'm sorry, didn't you just ask that question?
Well, yeah, which model did you get?
Oh, do you mean the memory, the size?
Yeah, like exactly two, which one did you get? I know you got the 7 Plus, but which
no?
one?
256. 256 gigabytes.
Oh, you went for the big dog.
I don't know why I
the
did that.
The big dog. Big dog Caney over here. Yeah.
Because it's like I looked at my phone and I was like, oh, you know, I think the one I've got now is 128, I think.
Yeah, it's not doing it for you?
Well, I thought the last time I checked, which is months ago, the thing was like half full. Uh-huh. And so just before I ordered the new phone, I checked it again thinking, oh, there's no way it's going to be any more than half full. But I've only got 6 gigabytes left. So the thing is almost completely filled up. And it's always the same. It's like no matter what device you buy, you always fill it up, always.
Well, for anyone coming from an iPhone 6, I can't tell you how much space, extra space, you're going to need just for the 4K video.
Right.
Because the 4K video absolutely destroys your storage space. And I'm almost out of space on my phone as well. And I've never used this much storage space on any device. In fact, my iCloud photo library is just... It's like a blue whale at this point. I don't know how I'm going to store it in the future. It's already up to like 130 gigabytes now. And most of that is just
Are you
ridiculous.
Kidding? That's all.
How much is yours?
More than a terabyte, 1.2 terabytes.
Well, you've got like 17 children.
I know, yeah, so. And it goes like 20 years. Mine's been a headache for years.
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly don't know at a certain point how I'm even going to manage it because I don't really want to pay Apple $10 a month for a terabyte of storage or $20 a month. For 2 terabytes of storage. In fact, I think 4K, total conspiracy here, might even be a ploy from Apple to increase their iCloud storage subscriptions because it's so convenient that you really have to have it. And yet your iCloud photo library is growing at an exponential rate. Every time I check it, even when I'm not using my phone, it seems like it's grown by like 2 or 3 gigs.
Yeah.
So I think the photos in there are multiplying. So you're going to end up spending more money just on that. I ended up getting, well, I had a terrible time pre-ordering, first of all. AT&T made it so hard because they wanted you to verify your phone number to order a phone, even if you were paying for it full price. So I didn't get to order as many phones as I wanted. What? And you might be asking why I had to order multiple.
Exactly.
I could not decide. I was so indecisive. When it came down to the night,
you're kidding.
I was sitting there and I could not decide which phone I
wanted. This
is
why no one can get a phone because you ordered them all.
Because I ordered 3.
You're kidding. So what are you going to do? Are you going to cancel 2 of them?
I think I'm going to. Well, I'll talk about this in a minute. I actually might be canceling all of them because the carrier deals, we're going to talk about this in a second. There's some carrier deals out there that are bonkers. I can't believe the prices that they're offering if you want to trade in an older phone, like an iPhone 6 even, or a 6S. So we'll talk about that in a minute. Ooh. But yeah, so I ordered the 128 gig matte black. I ordered a 128 gig silver. Those are both iPhone 7s. And then I ordered, you guys are going to laugh, I ordered a 128 gig iPhone 7 Plus.
What color?
After all, silver. After all the crap I talked about that phone and all the criticisms about it poking you in the junk and being uncomfortable and my jeans are too tight. I just, there's something about that big screen that's just, it's pulling me in and I don't know if I can resist. And I think because I have a 6S, when you look at the 6S and you look at the iPhone 7, there's really not a lot of huge differences. And so for me, I was looking at the 7 Plus and I was saying, if I want to have that feeling like I got a cool new device, I really need to get the Plus because it's so much different than my current phone. I'm going to, you know, feel like I'm getting something substantial rather than just getting a bunch of minor updates. So that's why I ended up getting both models, but I honestly couldn't tell you at this point which one I'm going to pick. I might go into the Apple Store on Friday and make my decision there because I also think I might want to get a Jet Black, but there's just not enough information out there on Jet Black. I mean, with the micro abrasions that Apple says are possible, with what it actually looks like in person, it's so shiny that it's actually really difficult to take pictures of it and post them online. I haven't really seen any good photos of it yet. Have you?
Panzerino on TechCrunch, he showed some pictures of his scuffed up, his Jet Black one.
Okay. And did it look pretty scratched up already?
Yeah. He said it got... Which I actually kind of think could be cool. So I'm planning on getting one and just taking it nude and beating the crap out of it and seeing what it looks like after a year.
It might end up looking really attractive, right?
Yeah.
In the end.
Maybe. Or it might not.
Yeah.
You know what it's going to look like? It's going to look like the iPhone 3GS. You remember that plastic black back that it had? Yeah. It just had all those micro abrasions on it.
Yeah.
So it's not going to look terrible, and you're really only going to notice in the right lights, unless you keep it for 2 years.
Well, I don't really care if my phone looks perfect, because, you know, with me, there's no chance it's going to stay looking great.
Yeah, it's not going to last more than 6 months anyway. Yeah. 6 months, it's either going to be lost or shattered into 100,000 pieces. So did you end up pre-ordering, Buster?
No, I didn't.
You didn't? Okay, but you think you're going to get one?
Yeah, I'll probably get one at some point.
Are you planning on going in on a Friday? Or are you going to wait a little while?
Well, there's no point. Like Leander said, there's not going to be any 7 Pluses in stores on Friday.
Oh, you're thinking about going for the big boy. That's right.
Yeah.
So have you guys heard about any of these carrier deals that I just mentioned?
No, I haven't.
Leander, have you?
Yeah, I heard about the T-Mobile one. You can trade in any iPhone 6 and get a free iPhone 7.
Yes.
What?
And of course, Verizon and AT&T have both matched that now. Although I don't know how long this promotion is going on. I was trying to find that on AT&T's websites, and they said it's going on until the end of this month if you're in Puerto Rico. But that's all they said. for the rest of the states and territories, I don't know how long it's going to be going on. But this deal is nuts, and it's so good that I actually may end up returning what I ordered from Apple and just ordering from AT&T instead. And as Leander said, if you trade in a iPhone 6 or an iPhone 6S, doesn't matter which model, the carriers will give you a $650 credit towards the purchase of a iPhone 7. And it doesn't have to be the 32-gigabyte model. That's the one that's being advertised. You can buy any phone you want. You'll just have to pay a little bit more to get it. And then you have to pay applicable sales tax on the full price of the phone. And then what they do is you get the phone and you have to do an AT&T Next, I don't know what they call it on the other carriers type plan, where you pay the full price of the phone over a period of 24 to 30 months. And the carriers will just waive $650 worth of payments over the course of your ownership of that phone. That is a huge discount. Because if you're planning on selling your iPhone 6, you're not going to get more than, I don't know, maybe $300 for it, $350 maybe. I was looking on eBay last night, and for my iPhone 6S, it's 64-gigabyte silver for AT&T. It's only going for $485, and that's not even including all of eBay's fees and PayPal's fees, which are substantial. So if you're thinking about trading in your phone, this is something that you absolutely need to carefully consider, because this could be a great deal for you. In fact, Leander, if how many phones are you buying? Like 10?
No.
Are you just getting one?
Just one.
Oh, so you're the only one getting the new phone. Everyone else in the fam gets the older models.
They get the hand-me-downs, right? So someone's getting Brett a new 6 Plus.
wait, who's your youngest child?
Lyle.
So Lyle's, he's like on the iPhone 4 now, right?
He actually managed to worm his way into an SE.
Oh, he did? Nice. Oh, yeah. Squirmy.
Olin's got the oldest one. He's got like a 5.
He's rolling around with an iPhone 5?
Yeah, but you know,
how embarrassing.
Yeah.
Does he tell people? Does he tell people it's an SE?
Well, he busted. He broke it. He took it swimming for this summer, and ruined it. So he had to get a Samsung Galaxy as a replacement. His grandma. Aww. His grandma gave him his old her old Samsung Galaxy.
So does it? And he was really explode, like
the
new ones?
He was really embarrassed about that one. No, it's an older one. But he hated it. He hated it.
I just love that the new Samsung Galaxy Notes are exploding, by the way. It brings me much glee. I hope it doesn't explode in your pocket, though, and give you, like, third-degree burns. That'd be terrible.
Well, we're gonna say, but hold on. What about this the trading, though? Right, it's got to be with a two-year deal, yeah? It's got to be with a two-year contract?
Well, it's a two-year deal, but you're on the again, I don't know what the equivalent word is for Verizon and T-Mobile, but it's like the AT&T Next plan. So, yeah, you're paying for it over the course of 2 years. Mm-hmm. But, you know, who cares? You're not actually paying for it because AT&T is basically paying your payments for you.
What?
So the one downside I could see is if you decide to upgrade next year, you're not going to be able to you're going to have to stay on this plan for this one phone because AT&T I don't think is going to front you the money to pay off your phone early. They're going to do equal 24 month payments, right? Or 30 month payments depending on what you choose. So if you decide you want to upgrade to the iPhone 8 next year or the 7S, whatever they call it, which most of the people on this show listening to the show probably will because it's going to be such a significant upgrade, then you're in a weird position because you're not going to be able to get a new phone. You're not going to be able to qualify for a new phone on your plan via another AT&T Next type plan. You'd probably just have to buy it outright unlocked.
And then how much extra are they going to tack onto the plan every month to cover the cost of the phone?
Nothing. It's AT&T Next. The AT&T Next plan, just like the other carriers, they just take the full price of the phone and they divide it by whatever increments you choose, so either 24 months or 30 months, and you're just paying for the price of the phone. That's it.
Well, that's what I mean. So it's not a free phone. It's a phone that you're paying for over 12 or 24 months.
But you're not paying for it because AT&T waives the payment every month for up to $650 in payments.
Oh.
Do you see what I mean?
Okay.
So even though you're on a 24-month plan, you're actually not going to be making those payments. AT&T makes them for you.
Huh.
Yeah, so it's a good deal. It's a really good deal. I mean, there are some caveats depending on whether or not you're going to upgrade next year or not. But, I mean, I think it's what I'm going to do because there's no way you're going to get $650 in trade-in value or if you sell it. This is a pretty baller deal if you ask me.
Hmm.
And I like a good deal. And check out their websites for more information and, you know, for all the information. Because, again, there's this huge description of stuff that you have to read and you want to make sure that you do it right. So that you don't get hosed out of your discount, which wouldn't surprise me if AT&T tried to do to you or any of the characters. They're going to try and hose you. You already know that. So, you know, read all the applicable rules and stuff. Before we continue, let me go ahead and say thank you to Audible for supporting this episode. I love to read. I love to listen to audiobooks. It's primarily how I ingest my books nowadays. Who actually looks at a page, a written page anymore? Nobody.
I do. But.
It's 2016. Only hipsters and busters actually look at printed books. Like, I look at bookstores full of all that paper, and I just laugh. I just laugh heartily as I walk by, and I'm like, look at all that, all those books that I'm never going to read. Because I can listen to all those books, and they're all available on Audible. Audible has one of the largest libraries on the internet of audio entertainment, audio books. You can find virtually anything at Audible. And you can listen while you're at the gym, during your commute, while you're cleaning the house, while you're pounding beers with your bros. You can be partying and getting your learn on at the same time. They have magazines, they have newspapers, and their app is free. It works on iPhone, iPad, Android devices, Windows phones. And you can also download the books to your Kindle Fire, and they work on over 500 MP3 players. And unlike rental services, you own the books you get on Audible, so they're yours forever. And Audible has a great listen guarantee, so if you decide you don't like the book that you chose, you can exchange it for a book that you would like to read instead, no questions asked. And if I may recommend a book, since The Cult of Mac 2.0 won't be out for another 9 years, Landon's currently writing it, which means in 9 years it will be available to you, the listener. You should check out Leandel's. That's a mixture of Leander and Audible, by the way. Leandel. You should check out Leander's highly acclaimed most recent book, Johnny Ive. Let's see if I can do this. Johnny Ive, the genius behind Apple's greatest products.
That's it. You got it.
Is that it? Yep. Yeah. That's available on Audible. Unfortunately, not read so eloquently in his British accent by Leander Caney. But they paid a professional to read
right.
which means there's not any drinking or burping happening in the
no sounds of me eating my salmon, a salad lunch.
Exactly. There's no one chewing lettuce or eating salmon. You just get the pure book reading experience. And you can get Leander's book for free. And your book has been lauded. I don't know. You're embarrassed, Leander. You don't want to talk about it. But didn't someone say it was like one of the best Apple books ever read or ever written? Who was
that? Yeah. Loads of people said that. Tim Cook.
Oh, okay. I take that back. Leander is very willing to tell you about everyone who thinks Phil this book Schiller. Is great.
They were talking about it at the last keynote. We're going on and on about
right.
it. Yeah, no. you know,
Horace Dedu,
yeah.
Thank you. Said it was one of the best books on Apple.
No,
the best. Oh, excuse me. So you can get that book for free. Check out Leander's book at audible.com/cultcast. You can get a free trial today, and you get a free audio book of your choice. It's audible.com/cultcast, audible.com/cultcast. Can we just talk about watchOS 3 and the new Apple Watches for a moment? Have you guys noticed any performance improvement on your Apple Watches since updating to watchOS 3?
Yeah, it's a lot faster.
You think it's faster?
Yeah, for a lot of things. But most of the apps too. To be honest, the built-in apps.
Have you noticed that it's still kind of lurchy and the animations still aren't smooth? Maybe if you boot up Siri, you know that little color coding thing that goes back and forth, like Kit from Knight Rider.
Hey,
it just isn't very smooth. It just kind of moves in a jarring way.
No, I haven't had that problem.
You haven't?
No, not at all.
Okay, my experience has been totally different than yours. Apps are still loading slowly. Well, let me take that back. The animations to load apps are jagged and not loading smoothly. Animations aren't smooth at all. I'm still getting little lags here and there. And the conclusion that I have come to is that Apple really underpowered the hardware in the first generation Apple Watches. And it's clear now more than ever that Apple did that because they updated the hardware in the Series 1, quote unquote, Apple Watches to include a dual core processor. And they're not continuing to sell the ones that we have anymore. And this has always been a problem on the Apple Watch. It's clearly never going to get better. And I just think that Apple kind of beta tested this product on us now. That's really how
My
I feel.
Goodness like, me, what a harsh and ungenerous and uncharitable view of the whole situation.
I think it's true. I'm not mad at Apple. I think they probably did their best. And I went into this new product fully knowing that Generation 1 products often have problems. But I think it's clear now because people... I just had someone on Twitter today ask me if I thought it was worth buying an OG Apple Watch. And I can't say I would recommend that to anyone unless you can get a really great price on it. By great price, I mean like $75 or less. There's no way I would recommend anyone buy the OG Apple Watch. Definitely get the Series 2 or even the Series 1, which I think has a lot of value now. They've upgraded it to a dual core processor, so everything is going to run much better. I think the Apple Watch that they have now with watchOS 3 is the Apple Watch they should have launched to start with. Wouldn't you agree, Leander?
Well, yeah, but you know, you could say about the original products, the iPhone, the iPod, you know, I mean, they've always been like this. I think they did their best. It's not very fair to say that they were treating us all like guinea pigs. I mean, they did their best to come out with a 1.0 product, you know, that I think what they've done is that they've streamlined it, obviously, right? It was confusing and to us and to Apple. Apple, just like the first iPhone, they didn't really know what they had on their hands when they first came out with it. You know, they were saying it was like great at a great timepiece. It was great for health and for fitness and also great for communication. And now all the communication stuff's been dropped. You know, or at least de-emphasized, you know, so there's none of this sending heartbeats to each other or squiggles or drawings or crazy animated
GIFs.
They
really didn't talk about that very much, did they?
Yeah, that's been really downplayed. And now they're playing up, you know, the health and fitness aspect of it. And yeah, you know, obviously, I was just playing around here just now while you were talking with 3.0 on my first generation watch. And to be honest, it's a little bit jerky here and there, but it's not unusable at all. And like things like the new dock, you know, where you scroll through the apps, that's pretty fast and fluid and it's pretty easy to call up. you know, all your data, and it seems to be up to date. Like it had all, you know, I was just looking at the activity rings, and all that has been synced properly. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. You know, it's not that bad. But
it's not that bad. I think that's kind of my point, though. Is it? That's kind of how I would sum it up. It's like it's not that bad, but it's not great.
It is great though, because it still holds. It's still, you know, it's still, I still get all day battery life out of it. I've taken, you know, I have not once not taken off of the shower, so I've been showering with it for more than a year. And
TMI.
it's got a couple of little minor dings in it, you know, minor dent scratches, but otherwise it's held up pretty well. The screen is completely uncovered, you know, unblemished. There's no scratch on the screen. That's kind of amazing.
I agree with you. Mine's the same way, actually. It looks like it's brand new.
It's, you know, so the hardware's held up really, really, really well.
Again, I agree with you. I'm not saying it's an unusable device. It's definitely usable. It's just animation issues is really what it comes down to me, and things loading slowly. And I kept expecting that those things were going to get better. And now I've resolved that they're just never going to get better.
Yeah, but
they're probably only going to get worse from here on out.
To
actually.
Your point, I mean, like, you know, the if someone's going to get a watch, definitely, and you're torn between the Series 2, whether to get the revamped Series 1. You know, the Series 2, the only reason you want to get it is if you're a runner, really. If you want the GPS.
I guess because of the GPS, yeah. Right. Or you're a swimmer.
Or a cyclist, or anything that where you want to track, like, distance and pace, you know. So, and, you know, if you're an outdoor sports enthusiast, yeah, you definitely want to get it. But if not, I mean, it's probably the GPS isn't going to add that much. I guess, you know, directions and mapping, but I don't know.
I just can't think of another device that Apple, you know, like with iPhones, perfect example. Like when they continue to sell the iPhone 6, they don't change the CPU. They leave the CPU in there and they just sell the new phones alongside it.
Right.
And they might offer a different amount of RAM. Well, with the Apple Watch, it's like, oh, hey, let's change the CPU. It's like, well, why would you do that? If it was sufficient to start with, why would you change the CPU? Clearly, well, you changed it because you realized it was woefully underpowered.
It's not sufficient for watchOS 3, right? So they're future-proofing it a little bit.
No, well, maybe, but they don't do that with any other iOS devices. They just say, oh, well, if you want it to be faster, you got to buy the new device.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, bros. Anyway, I just thought it was worth mentioning. I am enjoying watchOS 3. I think it makes much more sense, doesn't it, Leander? Like, using it feels like using your iPhone.
Yeah, but it's still got that awful, you know, Honeycomb, the Honeycomb app Honeycomb. That's a complete waste of a really good button.
That's true. Well, it doesn't matter because the apps aren't useful anyway. So you never actually need to go into that little honeycomb to use the app because it's totally pointless.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for that that killer Apple Watch app. I have yet to find it. Okay, let's move on to AirPods. I am excited for AirPods. Super excited for AirPods. I've been using Bluetooth headphones for a little while now, and wouldn't you say, Leander, because I know you have some too, the convenience factor of Bluetooth headphones is hard to beat. Once you've gone Bluetooth, you don't want to go back, really.
Right, definitely, yeah. The lack of wires, you know, because I'm so sick of pulling a, you know, tangled mess of spaghetti out of my pocket and having to, like, right. And with the kids too, you know, they always steal my earbuds and then I have to go find them. It's, you know, it's a puzzle. It's like it takes me 10 minutes to untangle the damn things to put them in my ear.
Right. I have a really great way to wrap up my ear pods and the wires so that they don't ever get tangled. I should do a little video and show you.
How to.
Actually, I don't need to. Some guy at The Verge stole my technique and he did a video on it. Did you guys see that?
No. Who? What? What site? Don't mention that site. We don't go over
the splurge. the glurge.com. So let's talk about what the reviewers are saying about the AirPods, because I think a lot of people are concerned with how they fit, how they sound. Some people think they look ridiculous. And so here are the reviews that are coming in. Some guy at Engadget said, in general, the AirPods give mids a little more meat than the EarPods did. He's speaking about the sound. And the drums felt crisper and more precise. In my test tracks, they came across warmer than I would have expected. Another reviewer wrote, I'm no audiophile, but to me, the AirPods sound nearly identical to Apple's wired EarPods. And it seems like for most of the reviews, a lot of people think that the AirPods actually do sound almost identical to the EarPods. I find that to be a little disheartening, considering you can buy EarPods for like $8 on Amazon and the AirPods are going to be $170. Does the sound quality, is it important to either of you guys?
No.
You don't care at all.
I mean, I can't really, I mean, I can tell if it sounds really shitty, but I can't really tell if it sounds mind-blowingly amazing. And for 160, I think they're, you know, a pretty solid deal.
But if they sound exactly like the AirPods for $160 versus $10,
I don't think you're buying them as, you know, super awesome headphones. I think you're buying them as wireless headphones.
Interesting. Okay. Leander, what do you think?
Yeah, same with Buster. Yeah.
So you don't care if they don't sound better than the EarPods? Because that's something that genuinely bothers me. No. I'm thinking, well, if I could spend $10 on EarPods, shouldn't $170 AirPods sound better? No. They should sound better.
I don't think they should sound better. I think they should be better than the earbuds. So they should be a better product. They got the charging case. They work wirelessly for, what, 6 hours or something like that of playback? 5 hours of playback?
5 hours, yeah. The reviewers are saying they get a little bit more than that.
Yeah, and they look kind of dorky, but, you know, better than a lot of other wireless earbuds do.
They're like the least dorky wireless that I've seen. Most of them look like a major nerd, a major dork wearing wireless earphones.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think they're pretty solid, but I'm not going to buy any myself.
See, I'm going to buy some. Lander, are you with me?
You're going to buy some? Oh, am I? Yeah. I'm going to buy some, yeah.
I don't even know why I ask you that.
Why don't you buy me some? That'd be better.
Actually, I'll buy you some and you buy me some.
I don't know about that.
And we'll both feel like we're getting a birthday
present. You buy
me
some and I'll tell you if they're any good or not.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. I'll make sure. Check your mailbox. Those will be coming any day. The only reason I asked Leander is for our new listeners who don't know yet that Leander buys everything that Apple releases. So I think the reason I'm so psyched about these is because every Bluetooth headphones that I've used, every pair of Bluetooth headphones, they cover your ears. Your ears get hot. They may not necessarily be comfortable. And I think the EarPods are incredibly comfortable. And so I'm expecting the AirPods to be the same. And the convenience factor of not having any wires and to have free movement of your head and to be able to just wear one if you're listening to like talk radio or something and you don't want to have both in. One of the reviewers was talking about how it made him feel like he was in the movie Her. Have you guys seen the movie Her?
I never watched it. Yeah.
With Joaquin Phoenix.
Me neither,
dude,
yeah,
it's
I haven't
so good.
Seen it, but I've seen, oh, it's so, is it really good so movie? Good.
You'll hate it, Leander, but yeah, I loved it. I thought it was great. It's really obscure and kind of weird.
I like, what's his face?
You like that kind of
stuff.
Yeah. Joaquin Phoenix?
Not him so much, the director.
Spike Jones?
Yeah, right.
I thought you were going to say Chris Pratt, because he's in the movie too. Yeah, it's a good movie. And for those of you that don't know, the premise is this guy has a relationship with his OS, and the way he interacts with the OS is through a piece in his ear. And so one of the reviewers was saying this kind of gives you that relationship with Siri because you always can have something on. You could always be asking Siri questions or interacting with Siri. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds like a way to break up with Siri really fast because then she could just misunderstand you even more often. But it is something that might work well. So I'm excited about that as well to see how well that works. And just to have these EarPods in that are kind of conspicuous. Well, are they conspicuous? I don't know. They're white. They're kind of dorky looking. But to have that freedom of no wires and something that go in your ears and yet you can still hear the outside world, I think that is super exciting. These are some of the most exciting Bluetooth earphone products that I've ever seen. There's not a lot of variety out there right now. There's not a lot of products that actually have a lot of promise. And I think these are the best that I've seen yet. So I'm super jazzed, jazz hands to get these, even though I think they are a little bit expensive if they sound just like EarPods. I really was hoping that they would sound better than EarPods. And I'm still kind of hoping for that because for $160, I think they need to sound better than AirPods.
Yeah.
Than EarPods, excuse me. Those words
get
are
yourself
like,
some beats then.
Yeah.
Some wireless beats.
I can't tell if you're joking or not.
I was joking, but I don't mind the beats. Although I've got really limited experiences. I mean, like, I've only tried on a pair down at the Apple store and I thought they sounded exciting because they're so bass heavy and audiophiles hate that because it's, you know, it's all thumping bass. But I thought it was, you know, they've always defended them by saying they're tuned for emotion.
tune for emotion.
Which is like saying they sound like
jeez.
Shit.
Eye roll. Hashtag eye roll.
But, you know, and I just was just doing a headphone test here with Lewis, and Lewis has got golden ears, right? He's like, he can hear everything, and he's been a musician forever. So uh-huh. He put some, you know, I was like, hey, try these sound great. And his face instantly was, ugh. He hated them, you know.
They were wireless, right?
We tried a few. We tried a couple of wireless ones and some wired headphones. And his go to were these Bowers and Wilkins. I think they're the I can't remember, H6, H5, something like that. I think they're $600 headphones, and they do sound beautiful. They really do sound great. But then, you know, he put on a pair of much cheaper ones, and he was like, "Oh my god, yeah, you can totally hear it. It's got, you know, it's muddier. It doesn't have as much soundstage. There's not as much separation." I put them on. I couldn't hear the difference at all.
Separate,
right? So, you know, I mean, like the Beats ones, I thought sounded okay, and they're adding the that new wireless chip to a couple of the Beats models.
Oh, right.
So you get all the benefits of that. Wasn't there some talk as well? Is it, Buster, do you know anything about this? Isn't it? Is it some kind of custom flavor of Bluetooth that they're using?
On the AirPods? Yeah, they talked about that W1 chip that they're using.
Right, but it's not using the standard Bluetooth protocol. Is that right?
Oh, I'm not sure about that.
I think...
I haven't heard anything about that
I saw
either.
Something, some chatter somewhere. I haven't dug into it. But I think... Yeah, but that's why they pair so quickly.
Okay.
And... there are some other magic that's gone into it too, but
is there like a bird chirping in the background somewhere?
Not here.
Yeah, let me shut that window.
I was like, I can't tell if that's like a electronic noise of some kind. If there's like a freaking bird outside, is there a bird outside your window, Buster?
Yeah.
That thing was going to town. Jeez.
Maybe they're hungry.
He's trying to sing you the song of his people. Yeah. You know the thing about the AirPods. Especially when it comes to sound quality, I hate to keep hammering on this, but I find that when people make normal items, quote unquote, smart, adding Bluetooth to headphones, making suitcases smarter, making your locks on your home smart to interact with your phone, you end up paying a premium for a device that isn't as good as it might otherwise be. So you end up getting like a pair of headphones that don't necessarily sound as good and may not have the same robust build quality as something at the same price level because they've spent money building in Bluetooth technology or what have you. And it's kind of a bummer. It kind of bums me out because I've run across this in several devices that I've used where you are getting some type of new technology built in, but then some other aspects of that device aren't to par with similarly priced items because, you know, they don't have to spend that extra money building in technology. So I'm really hoping that's not the case with the AirPods, but I'm really looking forward. I'm eager to try them out. I wonder if they'll have them available in the Apple Store, but I wonder how that would work, right? Because they're jamming them in everyone's gross earwax-filled ears. Yeah. I don't know if I want that experience at the Apple Store. Maybe they wipe them down or something. I wonder how they were doing it at the keynote when everyone was, all the press people were able to try them on.
Yeah, they were doing that with the watches. They had an elaborate cleaning procedure.
I heard for the AirPods, they had a new unit for each person.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, really?
I guess Apple can spare the expense. And actually, speaking of the keynote, I thought we could wrap up with this. Leander, you put this out last week. We didn't get a chance to talk about it, but I thought it was really interesting and something that was worth discussing at least a little bit. And you wrote why Apple is the new NASA. And this has to do with that swimming portion of the keynote that they gave last week where they were talking about all the swimmers, right?
Yeah, right.
So why did you say that? What made you think that?
I was just blown away by all the effort they went into building the algorithms for the swimming workouts on the watch. These are just two workouts on the workout app, which has what, I don't know, maybe a dozen, maybe less than that, right? Eight to 10, maybe 12 different workouts. But they tested 700 different swimmers. 700 different swimmers.
And they just kind of glazed over that during
the
keynote,
mentioned it really
right?
quickly, but I started to think, I started to imagine, my goodness me. I mean, like, can you imagine if you're Fitbit or Nike or any of their competing, fitness trackers, and you're trying to come up with your own algorithm? And you've got to go out now and hire like 800 swimmers, and take their blood and hook them up to these, you know, via.
Right, because they said they took blood samples from these people.
They did, and they also had them hooked up to those, you know, machines that were analyzing their oxygen, you know, that you know how much they were breathing, their heart rates, you know, that these you know, state of the art exertion machines in a pool with 700 different swimmers. So it must have taken right. like, you know, the manpower to do that of technicians and scientists and researchers and people to analyze the blood mm-hmm. and then come and then all the programmers and the hardware specialists. You know, it's mind-boggling. It must have taken a big team of people to come up with that stuff, and it must have been months, if not years, of work. And this is just for two workouts on a workout app. You know, this is let alone all of the resources they bring to bear to, you know, for design and engineering and programming and manufacturing. They're going to sell 100 million of these new iPhones this year. And it's just sort of mind-boggling, the resources that it takes to do something like that. This is manufacturing that has never been at a scale that's never been done before in the history of industry.
And as you pointed out, all of that work, all of that effort for features that most Apple Watch wearers are probably never going to use.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, you know, a significant portion will. But, you know, exactly. So they're doing this with everything they get into. You know, and then I was thinking about, well, my goodness, you know, this is brushed over Apple Music, but how many people are involved in Apple Music bringing that, you know, keeping that running day in and day out with all the deals and all the, you know, it's a complex, you know, it's a complex product that must take a team of hundreds, if not thousands of people. And then there's Apple Pay. There's Maps, the mapping effort, right? I know Maps for Effect is a huge, huge undertaking that takes teams of hundreds of people to do right, and it's got to be constantly updated. And I was just sort of, you know, I don't think that the article really captured it, but you know, if you imagine the resources and the manpower and what it takes to do all the things that Apple's doing in a keynote where they make it look so easy, it's not. It's like, and it's a gigantic organization that reminded me of like NASA in the 60s during the Cold War, you know, when there was a big push to put, you know, men on the moon. The whole country came together and put tons of money and tons of manpower into these problems. And it's like, who these days is doing that? I mean, NASA's certainly not. NASA's a shadow of its former self. And it was like Apple's the new NASA. Apple's the only kind of organization around now that has these kind of resources.
This lends new credence to the theory that the Apple spaceship campus might actually be a spaceship. Right, <yeah. laughs> And at one of these keynotes, Tim Cook's going to let us all know that Apple has transcended regular human existence and will now be operating into space, and it'll hit that big red button. Oh, actually, it won't be red. It'll be some beautiful button that Johnny Ive has designed. It'll probably be made out of aluminium. He'll hit it, and then the spaceship campus will ascend into the heavens.
Take up, right.
And only a selection of us will be taken to live with them in the clouds. Yeah, I think it's great. I liked the story because it gives you an insight into one small slice of 2 minutes into a keynote that Apple had to expend immense time and resources on. And then you back out of that one example and you look at all the stuff that they released in this 90-minute keynote, and they had that much effort going into everything, and you rarely get to see examples like that illustrate just how massive Apple is and how many resources they have at their disposal. Right. It's kind of mind-boggling, yeah, yeah. Actually, to think about.
Yeah, it is.
It's like trying to think about how far away the sun is from like the Earth or something. It's impossible.
The infinity of space,
fathom.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Mind
until someone shows you like a GIF of like how big the planets are next to each other or something. Okay, well, before we wrap up, I want to do a shout out. So we've been asking for people to hit us up on Twitter and on our subreddit, the cultcast.reddit.com. I got a great one this week. This one, the shout out goes to Marim Bama 93. Who says, I think you guys are going to like this. He says, hey, Arifon, I'm writing in regards to the shout-outs you've been giving away on the Cultcast, but I'm not writing in for myself. You see, my girlfriend, she couldn't give a hoot about Apple News, reviews, how-tos, and she really doesn't like listening when we're driving together. I can't blame her, actually. So what do you say you make this worth her while? That way, when we're driving, I can tell her to keep her mouth shut and listen for a surprise. So can I listen to Buster's soothing tones in peace? Her name's Elizabeth J., and we're from West Hills, California. My name is Bahij. Listen here, Elizabeth J.
Oh, but can you imagine the poor woman locked in a small car with all the windows closed and this drivel coming out through the speakers?
Yeah, for at least 30 to 60 minutes talking about a topic that she absolutely cannot care less about.
Right.
With all our terrible jokes on top of that, I actually feel bad for her.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel bad for Elizabeth.
It's like saying like Clockwork Orange. It's the oral version of that.
I'm sorry, Elizabeth J. I'm very sorry that your boyfriend is forcing you to listen to this show. Perhaps consider maybe getting another boyfriend. I don't know. Just maybe someone listens to an Android podcast. There's endless options. And with that, we should go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the cult cast we have for you guys this week. Hey, if you come say hi to me on Twitter, I'm at Airfawn. I have a poll going on which AirPods feature is most important to you. I'm genuinely curious to know what you guys think about the AirPods, if you're excited as I am. If you want to come say hi to us on Twitter, I'm at Airfawn. Buster's BST3R. Leander is L. Caney. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute album conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night, Elizabeth. And I want to thank everyone for listening, especially Elizabeth. And we'll see you, Elizabeth,
next week.
You know what Elizabeth doesn't know yet is the Cultcast is like your first beer. It's gross at first, but by the end, you kind of like it. What's up, Leander?
Oh, hey, how's it going?
What are you doing?
I was boning up.
Boning up on the news?
Yeah. Just,
Good. That's always a good thing. I think we have Tunnel Bear next week, since you asked.
Okay, all right. Week. Well, I was going to bone up on that.
Bone it up. Get boning. Get boning on those things.
I got a lot of boning to do.
You got a lot of boning to do.